As mentioned, we are joined right now by a three-time Super Bowl champ, a Pro Bowler, five career TDs, undrafted out of Brown back in 2010. He announced his retirement last week. James Devlin is my guest. James, great to have you on. First off, how are you and your family doing in the middle of this pandemic?
We're good. We're good. You know, we kind of lucked out. Our kids are too young to really even know what's going on, and they're not missing school. You know, my oldest is four, so we pulled him out of preschool after the season ended anyway. So we're at a pretty good spot, man, and we're hanging tight just like everybody else and just kind of hoping and wishing that this ends real soon.
Hear, hear. James Devlin joining us. Good to hear. So last week you announced that you were retiring, which brings to an end an amazing career. If you were to take me back, when you were playing college football at Brown, what kind of thoughts were you having about a career after college? I mean, were you thinking about the NFL or were you thinking about something else?
I was. It's always been a dream of mine since I was, you know, a seven-year-old kid, first strapping on pads to, you know, to play professional football and make it a career. So I was definitely, you know, willing to do my due diligence and try to see, you know, how far football could take me. And then, but you know, the situation was pretty dire at that point. You know, senior year, I had a tryout with the Cleveland Browns during rookie minicamp, but I didn't even make it to the third day of it. They let me go after two practices, and then. You know, I was just kind of like contemplating, like, oh man, maybe football isn't what was in the cards. Maybe I gotta, you know, try to use my degree, start lining up engineering job interviews and stuff like that. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and I just kind of kept pursuing that calling that I had inside me to keep playing football, and things worked out.
James Devlin joining us. Things certainly did work out. Now, you had the engineering degree from Brown, so there were a lot of things that you could do with that. One of the options, though, was to play for the Oklahoma City Yard Dogs in the Arena League. How did that opportunity come to be, and why was that the path you chose?
Well, I was recently graduated from Brown. I'm living at home with my parents, and I, like I said, trying to kind of figure out, you know, what my next move was going to be. And it was actually, the opportunity was presented to me through a Facebook message.
Huh.
I just got kind of a random message from this guy, Ian Harris, who had worked for the Oklahoma City Yard Dogs. I've never heard of the team before. I responded to it, and it seemed like a legitimate thing. So I flew down to Oklahoma City, did a tryout, and they ended up signing me that day, and spent the better parts of like 6 weeks there. Played in one game against the Tulsa Talons, and then the season ended, and I was right back home. And so it was kind of just like a totally random thing. I mean, it was my first crack at professional football, and It was a eye-opening experience, to say the least.
And then the journey continues because you go from Oklahoma City in the Arena League to Florida in the UFL. Is it true that your agent told the team that you were a fullback? And if so, when was the last time you had actually played fullback?
Yeah, I probably took maybe a handful, maybe five or six snaps at fullback in college at Brown. We went through this phase where we were kind of – We were playing Harvard, and we kind of rewrote our playbook a little bit and just put the ball in some really really good athletes' hands, and we just kind of ran the ball all over. And so they put me a fullback just for a handful of plays, just like real easy assignment. And that was it, outside of maybe like the same situation in high school. So prior to going down to Florida, I had probably played maybe 15 snaps in my life at fullback. But I felt like I knew enough about the game of football, and I'd seen enough that I could, you know, run some routes and catch balls and try to put myself in the best position to be a fullback down there. And, so I went down to try it out. They never asked me really, you know, what position I had played before. And so I just never, it was one of those don't ask, don't tell type of things. And again, that all kind of worked out in my favor.
James Devlin joining us. And then you get a chance with the Bengals. You were cut near the end of training camp in 2012. If I skip ahead, ultimately you signed with the Patriots. What were the early days like with the Patriots?
You know, that I was on the practice squad for all of that year except for 4 weeks. And so it was a lot of just trying to kind of drink out of a fire hose, man. I mean, it was such a, you know, storied organization, and learning from like some of the best coaches to ever do it, and, you know, sharing the locker room with some of the best players to ever do it. So I was just trying to be a sponge and learn as much as I could. I knew that my opportunity was going to come. I just had to do my, do my work and kind of, you know, just wait for that time to come. And then, you know, really it was that following training camp when I really got my opportunity to compete for a position on the team. And so I just knew that, you know, in those first, you know, that first year on the practice squad, I just had to learn as much as I could and try to get as comfortable in the organization with the playbook and, you know, with my teammates as I could. And I, you know, capitalized on that. And, you know, 8 years later, it went pretty well.
Yeah, and spend as much time as you possibly could in the weight room, because you're known as a monster there. You used to smoke guys like Rob Gronkowski and the other tight ends when it came to lifting. Gronk said of you, quote, "He's a different creature when it comes to that. He's a beast. He can put up weights left and right no matter what it is. He's just tossing it up, and it's special." I mean, dude, that is serious praise coming from a guy like Gronk. What is it about the weight room and lifting that you like so much?
You know, I was never really the most gifted athlete. I was never the fastest. I was never, you know, the biggest. But one thing I could always control was my strength. And, you know, so I kind of attest a lot of my success in the game of football to my work in the weight room and to just, like, putting in the sweat equity, you know, towards my career. So it was one of those things that, you know, I took a lot of pride in it because it got me to the point of getting my first opportunity in the NFL. So when I was in the NFL and playing for the Patriots and everything, I had to show my respect to that. And in my eyes, showing respect to the weight room is just going in there and trying to get after it and, you know, lifting as much weight as you can. And so, yeah, it became, you know, really, really a lot of fun being in there with some of my teammates and just, you know, just being like as meathead as you can possibly get. But, you know, it's just something that I really, really enjoy. That's such a big passion of mine is training. And, you know, I always felt like it was just doing something I loved, and it got me to that point, and I really appreciate everyone that I shared a weight room with, because, you know, those were some really good times.
James Devlin is joining us. And then last training camp, you were dealing with a painful sensation in your arm. How would you describe the feeling, and what did you think it was at the time?
Well, you know, it was a unique feeling. It was kind of one of those things that it felt like a stinger. I don't know if everyone has had that. It's pretty common in the game of football. And then it was just one of those things that just wouldn't go away. It kind of kept coming and coming. And, you know, the severity was getting worse and worse, and the frequency was increasing. So it was one of those things. I just thought it was I was just having, you know, heightened sensitivity to it, because I've had stingers in the past, and they're a little more susceptible to having it happen again. So I kind of thought it was going down that path. And then, you know, once I got checked out, things, you know, got a little bit more serious. But, you know, so it was one of those things. It was just like a nervy feeling, you know, loss of sensation and like that burn type of thing that you get with stingers. It just kind of got a little bit more complicated once I got everything tested out.
Well, then you told my guy Ross Tucker that the one thing doctors did say was, "You'll probably be fine, but," quote, "just don't run into people with your face," end quote. Obviously, James, the thing is, when you play fullback, your job is to run into guys with your face. So when you were presented with that information, what was that like to hear? What did you think then?
Man, that was an emotional moment because, like I said before, I wasn't really sure the scope of my injury, and so it was kind of like a blindside type deal, and yeah, it was a tough pill to swallow, man. I mean, having my wife and my daughter there was something that was really special because it was just an immediate sense of clarity of what happened or what really matters and in the world for me. And so, you know, it was definitely like, you know, unwelcome news at the time. I was emotional. I didn't really know, you know, what to make of it. And then, but yeah, like I said, the amount of respect I have for the game and the way I grew up playing the game was, you know, sticking my face in there and inviting contact. And so I knew that I couldn't, you know, knowing what I knew about my body after seeing those doctors, I just knew that I couldn't, you know, play the game with the type of reckless abandon that I grew to play it with. And so I just out of respect for the game, I knew that it was time to hang it up.
So when that moment comes and you remember, of course, you've got a wife and three kids, how much of the announcement then is about walking away from football, or is it about walking towards them and choosing them?
It's definitely both, but I mean, it's definitely more of, you know, choosing my family over everything, because that is something that will always be my number one priority, is my family and, you know, their well-being. And, you know, I need to be able to provide for them for years to come, not only monetarily, but, you know, just emotionally, physically being there and, you know, spiritually being with them. And so, you know, it was a tough decision for me personally, because I've been playing the game of football for a quarter century, and, you know, it became such a big, big part of my life. But, you know, my wife and my three kids, you know, although I've only, you know, I've been with my wife now for 8 going on 9 years, and then my oldest kid is 4. So although, you know, my time in football was, you know, over double the amount of time that I've, you know, been a part of my family, they mean the absolute most to me. And so it was really, you know, once it came down to it, it really became an easy decision. I mean, my family is everything, and it'll never be different.
It was an amazing journey, and now you start a new one. He is a 3-time Super Bowl champ, a Pro Bowler, undrafted out of Brown back in 2010, announced his retirement last week. James Devlin, our guest. James, congrats. It was a great career. Great to have you on the show. I hope we can do it again.
Well, thank you very much for having me, man.
Great to have you. Appreciate you. Thank you. Great story. Undrafted out of Brown in 2010.